Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening every Sunday night at this time for the Bible Crossfire program. This program may be a little different than a lot of religious programs because here we're willing to discuss the doctrinal differences of believers and look at what the Bible has to say about those issues. Because, you know, what the Bible says is right, and it's not really that hard to understand on most of these issues. That's not the problem, being hard to understand. The Bible is very clear on a number of these issues that believers disagree on. And we show on this program that it's important that we actually believe the truth. What we're going to talk about tonight on the program is, as advertised, we're going to answer the question, is one faith just as good as another? And that's what I'm talking about. There's one truth, not two truths. Two things that contradict each other, they both can't be right. So when you have two different faiths, the doctrines taught by two different churches, they can't both be right if they contradict one another. Let me turn to a passage right now that helps us to see right off the bat that one faith is not just as good as another. Ephesians 4:4-6 reads, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord," and then here's the phrase I'm getting at, "one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all." Notice there's just one faith according to God. That would be the one faith that is accepted by God, which says what about all the other faiths? Well, they're not accepted by God. So if we want to be saved, we're going to have to be following that one faith. There's only one faith according to Ephesians 4:5. And if we want to be saved, we're going to have to be following that one faith. Yet there are many different Christian faiths out there. But of course, they contradict one another. They can't all be right. If you have a Bible question or a comment about this Bible topic, is one faith just as good as another, or any other Bible topic, call us at 877-655-6755. That's 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or a comment. Is one faith just as good as another? Well, if we can show from the Bible that a person can be religious and be wrong, if a person can be religious, have a religious faith and be wrong, then that would imply that one faith is not just as good as another. Because the one that has the religious faith and is wrong, that faith would not be as good, not nearly as good, would not be as good as the faith that's correct. Well, this is easily shown from many passages. But how about Matthew 7:21-23? Jesus said there in Matthew 7:21-23, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So here's some people that were calling Jesus Lord. They're religious people. They say they prophesied in Jesus' name. And Jesus said, because they didn't do the will of the Father which is in heaven, they won't be going to heaven. See, they had a religious faith. Many would even call it a Christian faith. They believed in Jesus, called him Lord. They claimed to prophesy in his name. So they had a religious faith, but it was not the religious faith of the Bible. They were religious and they were wrong, which implies that one faith is not just as good as another. Today, we see a lot of religious people out there that belong to many different churches which believe different things. All those different churches believe different things. That's why they exist. But as we continually illustrate on this program, 2 + 2 is either 4 or 5. Both of those answers can't be right. 2 + 2 is either 4 or 5. Both of them are not right. So in religion, we have all these different faiths or beliefs, different churches. 2 + 2 can't equal 4 and 5. They can't all be right. Whatever the Bible teaches is right. Julio from California, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, well, see, I've been having the ODS come over, and they're nice people and everything, but there's just something missing there. I don't feel a comfort, a warmth.
You've been having who come over?
The Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Okay.
And I just don't feel a comfort. And I visited the Church of Christ the last two Sundays, and I felt a comfort there. Mm-hmm. That I don't feel at the Latter-day Saints Church.
Well, I'm glad you don't feel good about the Latter-day Saints. And the reason I'm going to say that, Julio, is because I'm glad you that you don't feel good there. But the main thing is that they don't teach the truth. They don't teach the truth. Mm-hmm. Joseph Smith. Mm-hmm. Has been proven to be a false prophet. I mean, I have a program on the Mormons, I would say 2 or 3 months ago, and you can look it up and listen to it, but we went through some ways that the Mormon church and their scriptures contradict the Bible. For example, they say that Jesus was born in Jerusalem when the Bible says Bethlehem. Many different contradictions between Mormonism and God's Word. And so that's a faith, the Mormon faith, that's different than the faith we read about in the Bible, and as we've been pointing out, one faith is not as good as another. You have any follow up, Julio?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, see, anything else you wanted to say?
No. That'll be all, because see, people are telling me to stick with the Church of Christ instead of the Mormon Church, and I feel more in the Church of Christ.
I would agree with that, because there's a big difference. The Mormons aren't teaching the truth. So you need to worship with a congregation that's teaching the truth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Keep it up, Julio.
Okay, I will. I sure will. And thank you very much, and God bless you. Okay?
Yeah. Hey, Julio, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com, and we can talk further, okay?
Okay, I'll try to do that, and God bless you, okay?
Same to you, Julio. BibleCrossfire@email.com.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Bye. If you have a Bible question or a comment, call us at 877-655-6755. While we're waiting on that next call, let's continue our discussion answering the question, is one faith just as good as another? We've already pointed out from Ephesians 4:5 that the Bible speaks of one faith, singular, which would imply that one faith is not just as good as another. We've pointed out from Matthew 7:21-23 that one can be religious and be wrong. And that, of course, would imply that one faith is not just as good as another. My third point is that the Bible warns us against false teachers. And if there's such a thing as a false teacher, then one faith is not just as good as another, because that false teacher has a faith, and it's called false by the Bible, so that faith is not as good as the true faith. The faith the false teacher is teaching about and contending for is not as good as the faith that the true teacher is talking about. We're going to turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, just as an example of a place where the Bible talks about false teachers. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. I think we have a caller on the line, but I don't have a name. Hey, is anybody on the line?
Yep. Yes, sir.
What's your first name? And what's Jeff?
Yes, sir.
What state are you from, Jeff?
I'm from South Carolina, but I'm just having to be driving on the road right now listening to the radio.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
The question I've got is, I grew up in a Baptist church. And I've been talking to this guy from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and he's saying that we should be worshiping on Saturday instead of Sunday, because in the Bible, then the Sabbath day was Saturday, and that Jesus set the example by worshiping on Saturday in the synagogue, and that the disciples continued that. It didn't change until, Constantine changed the day. And he thinks that, you know, you shouldn't be switching the Sabbath day around like any, switch any of the other commandments, right? I just wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Well, first of all, Jeff, he's right that the Sabbath day was on the seventh day of the week, which we called Saturday. But the thing that he's missing is that the Sabbath law was done away, just like the instruction, all the law of the Old Testament, including like animal sacrifices, circumcision, the Sabbath. These laws, being part of the Old Testament, were just for the Jews back then, and they're not for Christians today. Do you follow me so far, Jeff?
I do, but I asked the same question to him, and he said that Jesus said that if you love him, that you'll follow his commandments.
Jesus there is talking about his New Testament commandments, not his Old Testament commandments. Now, Jeff, I'm going to read you a passage that to me clearly shows that the Sabbath is no longer binding, and I'm going to get you to tell me what you think. I'm going to start in Colossians 2, verse 14, okay?
Okay.
All right, now this is talking about Jesus, and Colossians 2, 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And so, Jeff, we have here some ordinances, which would be laws ordained by God, some ordinances that Jesus blotted out, took out of the way, and nailed to the cross. Now, whatever those ordinances are, does it sound like we still have to keep them? Jeff, you still there?
Well, yeah, I'm still here. I'm just processing what you're telling me. It's,
okay. I understand
that. It's kind of confusing to me, you know, because this guy, you know, I don't think he's not a Christian, because I think he really believes what he's saying. But if he's telling me something that's wrong, then I don't want to be encouraging him in that.
You know, right. So, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. So this verse says that Jesus blotted these ordinances, took them out of the way, blotted them out, nailed them to the cross. Now, skipping down to verse 16, Paul draws a conclusion from that statement. He says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So, what Paul is saying here, and of course he's inspired of God, is that Jesus has blotted out these ordinances. He's nailed them to the cross. Therefore, nobody can judge another based upon the Sabbath law anymore. In other words, it's not binding anymore if Jesus blotted it out and nailed it to the cross. So we don't judge anybody based upon the Sabbath law anymore. Do you follow me, Jeff?
I do follow you. And you said that's 1 Corinthians 2:14.
Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Jeff, I have an outline that I'd like to send you. When you're driving right now, I think. But if you can remember my email address, BibleCrossfire@email.com, send me an email and ask for the outline showing the difference in the Old Testament and the New Testament law and how we're not under the Old Testament law anymore. And I'll send you that outline. And it's got 10 or 12 verses like Colossians 2, which proves conclusively the Sabbath law is not binding anymore. We're not under the Old Testament law. It went out of the way just like animal sacrifices and circumcision and all the other Old Testament laws. You follow what I'm saying?
I do. So how about the rest of the Ten Commandments? Are we still under those?
Well, did you know that this helps make my point here. The other nine of the Ten Commandments are all in the New Testament. In other words, the New Testament tells us don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery. So we have to obey those because they're in the New Testament law. But the Sabbath is not ever commanded in the New Testament.
But does it say in Revelation? Again, this guy's talking me up. But does it say in Revelation though that in the people that are in the end, the worshipers of God will be the ones that are keeping His laws and keeping the Sabbath?
No. Okay. Now, it talks about in different places and Revelation how that we have to keep God's commandments, but it doesn't say the Ten Commandments. In the New Testament, we have New Testament commandments, and we have to keep those commandments.
Okay.
Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, John 14, verse 15. He wasn't talking about the law of Moses. He was talking about His commandments, the law of Christ, not the law of Moses. Keep my commandments. Do you follow me?
I do, yep.
Jeff, if you'll send me that email, we could talk further.
All right, that sounds good. You help me out a little bit, you know, because he kind of had me stumped, you know, because I do a little research on the Sabbath day, how it turned from Saturday and get to Sunday, and it's like, well, wait a minute, that's not what I got brought up with, you know, so.
when you get, yeah, when you get to where you're going tonight, send me an email at BibleCrossFire@gmail.com, and I'll send you that outline, and we can talk further. Thanks, Jeff.
Sounds good, sir. Thank you.
Norman from Iowa, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I was wondering if the Bible was silent on the concept of cremation. Did the book of did the prophet Amos speak out against it, or?
Well,
is it?
As far as I can tell, I don't think the Bible says that it's wrong. I'm not going to choose to be cremated myself, but once the soul leaves the body, I don't think the body, the Bible makes a supreme importance about the body once the soul is gone. I really don't think the Bible tells us conclusively one way or the other. Do you know of a passage that would tell us that it's wrong to be cremated, Norman?
I remembered a passage in Amos, and I saw it on a Bible track, and I'm sorry I don't remember the chapter and verse in the book of Amos. About they were angry that they burned the bones of certain the body of a king. But anyhow, but I didn't know that maybe it follows. Maybe it's one of those things that don't apply to us anymore, like the last caller you pointed out to the last caller. And your email is BibleCrossFire@gmail.com.
Email.com, not Gmail. Email.
At email.com. Oh, okay.
BibleCrossFire@email.com.
Oh, it is email. Okay.
Yeah, it's Norman, it's email, not Gmail. I thought that would be an easy one to do, but I could see it's getting confused with Gmail sometimes, but it's not. It's BibleCrossFire@email.com.
And I guess when Jesus said, "I didn't abolish the law, I fulfilled it," he was referring to him being the eternal sacrifice, which replaced the goats and lambs that the Jews were doing. I think that's one aspect that you're looking at. That I would appreciate the same outline. I'll shoot you that email about that.
Okay. In what you're talking about, Matthew 5, Jesus says in Matthew 5:17, he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. But in the very next verse, in verse 18, he said the law would not pass until it was fulfilled. Verse 18, Matthew 5. But in verse 17, he said he came to fulfill it. So Norman, in Matthew 5:17-18, he said the law would pass when it was fulfilled, and then he said, "I came to fulfill it." So that sounds like that the law was to pass once he completed its fulfillment. Do you follow me, Norman?
Oh, okay. Can we still use Leviticus as proper, the book of Leviticus as proper sexual for guidance for proper sexual relationships?
The Old Testament, we should still study the Old Testament because it will help us understand the New Testament, which is our law for today.
Yeah, you need it for the book of Hebrews. You need it to understand the book of Hebrews, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But I won't make that this conversation last too long, but I'll send you that email so I can get further instruction.
I'll enjoy having a discussion with you via email, Norman.
And I just turned to your station. What's your name again? Forgive me.
Patrick Donahue.
Patrick Donahue. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a driver myself. I'm a driver myself. And anyhow, I appreciate information. But anyhow, I didn't mean to put you on the spot about cremation.
That's okay. Give me that email. Send me that email, and we'll talk further, Norman. Thanks for your call. Now, we were looking at, is one faith is just as good as another? And we said if there are warnings about false teachers in the Bible, then that would prove that one faith is not just as good as another. Well, here's one. 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So there are many places like this that warn us about false teachers. Well, the faith of those false teachers, the faith they're propagating, is not going to be as good as the faith that's propagated by God's true and righteous teachers. They're teaching false doctrine, and that faith is not as good as the true faith. Which brings us to this point. The Bible many times contrasts truth versus error. And that would imply that one faith is not just as good as another. Because the truth is the one faith talked about in the Bible, and anything different than that truth would be a different faith than the one talked about in the Bible. Truth is better, much better, than error. Therefore, the faith that propagates, the faith that involves the truth, is much better than the other faiths that are based upon false teaching. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, If you continue in my word, then are ye to my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you see how important the truth is to Jesus? He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So a faith, even if it's called a Christian faith, if it's based upon something different from the truth, that faith will not cause you to be free from your sins. Instead, you'll be lost. One faith is not just as good as another. According to John 8:31-32, to be a disciple indeed, we must continue in God's Word, not do our own thing like most churches are doing these days. If only the truth makes us free from sin, John 8:31-32, what does that say about false religious teaching? If we allow a false teacher to lead us astray, will we be saved or lost? Well, Matthew 15:14 said, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. We need to follow the truth. We don't need to be led astray by false teaching. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. We're going to have to go off the air in just a little bit. I think we may have time for one more call. We'll try. Ron from California, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, Bill. Just got caught to the last part of your show, but the question I have is regarding what's happened this past week. Everybody's up in arms about President-elect Donald Trump. I've got Christian brothers and sisters in my life that are really just tore up about this. And the thing I try to tell them is that it is God that ultimately puts government in place. And the thing I want to ask you is Daniel 2:21 speaks about that, how he disposes of kings and government for his will. Now, the question I may have, I'm trying to see if I can make a connection that with all that the government has done in the last couple of years with transgender and the Supreme Court decision against with homosexual marriage, do you think God may have put this president in place with all the Republican Senate, Congress, and Republican president so he could stop the tide of this anti-God sentiment that's been going across ever since Obama's been in power?
Ron, I'm having a hard time hearing you. I'm going to hang you up and let you listen. I've got to go off the air in about 20 seconds. That's a good point from Daniel 2:21 that God sets up kings. And so God picks the leaders of the countries, that's for sure. But he might pick a leader in order to punish us because we hadn't been living righteously. Appreciate you listening tonight. If you want to send me an email, BibleCrossfire@email.com.